Nashville Live, presented by the Black Abbey Brewing Company, on your home for Smashville. 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
It's showtime, folks. It's draft lottery time, folks. Welcome in here to ESPN 102.5, The Game. Chase McCabe with you alongside the TV voice of the Predators, Willie Donick, and the radio and TV analyst for the Predators, Hal Gill. We're live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, and tonight we will find out the fate of the Predators and where they will pick in this year's draft lottery. Gentlemen, good evening. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Feeling good?
You know what? It's on a down year, there's a bright spot at the end.
There is.
Like, that's what we got to look at, and so we're here to break it down and see where we end up.
Willie D, you feeling good? You feeling positive? Look, I will say this. Sean Henry handed me this today for those of you watching on the stream. The lucky rabbit's foot. So I'm representing
pet
the
it,
table here.
Rub it.
I mean, we're feeling good about it. Let's get that number one pick, because then you have all the control in the world.
Yeah, I think it's tough when you have to hope for something. As an athlete, it's like I want to make something happen and change it with my work ethic and my abilities and my skills, and we're just sitting here going, come on, ball, go in our,
yeah,
in our
go
favor.
Ball, come go on for the ping pong balls.
Yeah. Pop by our way, and so that's a tough thing to handle, but you got to make the best of it. I do appreciate that they do that, because there's nothing worse than tanking. How many times did we hear Trotsky talk about, we're not tanking, we're not about that. You want to play. You want to play, and you want to feel good about what you do. And so I don't like the tanking, but here we are with banking on ping pong balls.
The chairman of the board, David Reed, is back at the studio, and I know Parker Kelly's there as well. They're going to alert us whenever the ping pong ball starts bouncing for the number one pick. And as you heard in David's update, the Predators have an 11% chance of getting that number one pick. So you're telling me there's a chance that they can get it. If they end up with the top three, I'll feel good about it. I mean, obviously, we want that number one overall pick. But top three, I think you can get a really good player that can help this team right now.
Well, let's go over the numbers, because just in case people don't know, it's a little deceiving, because I thought, well, surely they'll hold at least in the top three. But actually, position number three is the least likely of the five positions. There's actually a 30% chance that they'll get one, two, or three, and closer to 70% chance that they get four or five and move down. So keep rubbing that rabbit's foot there. But I think just staying in the top three would be really good, especially studying some of the guys that are coming into the draft.
Yeah, and this is a different draft. I mean, remember some of the drafts, fail for nail. And, yeah. You know, McDavid is popping up, and it was Hall versus, what is it, Tyler versus Taylor, like Sagan versus Hall, right? Like, there's always a big story. And this year, I feel like there's three, four guys that are going to impact the NHL in a big way. And so I don't think one is necessarily the end-all, be-all. But you certainly, I think top three is huge.
It will be. I mean, because you get a guy that I think can help you right now. And, you know, we'll look at some of these prospects as we go along tonight here on the show. But, again, ESPN will be showing everything and showing draft parties and of different teams. All I know is I think I speak for everybody in Smashville when I say anyone but Chicago.
Well,
please,
yeah. No question. They've had their share of luck. The Predators historically are due to hit one of these, because every time they've had any type of lottery, and there have been a couple how that you can remember, the Sidney Crosby lottery after the season-long lockout, which the Penguins obviously won. It changed the whole course of their franchise. It maybe, you could argue, maybe saved their franchise, where everybody had the same chance. There was no odds. All 32 teams, or how many there were at the time, got thrown into the same hat. And then after the bubble, they had the 12 teams that were eliminated, either didn't make the postseason or lost in the qualifying round, had the same chance for the first pick. Predators didn't win that. And then, of course, there was the very first draft they were ever in, 1998. They didn't win that. So I feel like they're due. for a little bit of luck here.
I'm finding some good luck connections. So I have all the times that one city has had the number one overall pick in two different sports in the same year. So the Titans just had it in the NFL draft. 2008, Willie, let's see how good you are. The Tampa Bay Rays have the number one overall pick. Who did they take?
The Rays?
The Rays.
Dillman Young?
Tim Beckham.
Tim Beckham. Oh, yeah, even worse.
The Tampa Bay Lightning have the number one overall pick. Who did they take?
Who is that?
Mr. Stamkos.
Steven
Stamkos.
Oh, that
Stamkos. Was
Stamkos. Yeah. So there's a connection there.
Oh, it's so happened. Same city. Okay.
It's happened.
So with the Titans and the Preds. I get the game now.
Okay.
1966.
Didn't even ask me. I don't know that stuff. I can't give you that stuff.
Okay.
1966, your Mets had the number one overall pick.
Oh, gosh. Steve Chilcutt?
Yeah. Good job. Wow,
never made the majors.
The Knicks had the number one overall pick.
Is that Bill Bradley?
No.
Dave DeBuscher? Willis Reed?
Cassie Russell.
Man, I was just going down their whole list of players from those teams.
So there's
they ended up winning two titles with those guys.
Yes, just to name a few, it has happened. So we're very hopeful that it's going to happen here in Nashville. So they're kind of building up, showing some of the prospects right now on ESPN. Real quick, I'll get both of your thoughts. Barry Trotz made his end of season press conference today. He did make it known Andrew Brunett would return as the head coach. He said as of now, everybody's back on the coaching staff, but he left himself open to make some room there, make some changes there with assistant coaches. But Hal, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on some of the things Barry Trotz had to say today.
Yeah, well, I think Trotz, he says a lot of things. So you kind of, you have to sift through what, you know, and sometimes I think he's, and I know he's doing that now, is he's bouncing a lot of things around, and he's trying to make decisions, and he wants to be informed, and he wants to be thorough. You know, the big thing is I do think there needs to be a change. There's got to be a change, and whether that's personnel, mindset, you know, coming into training camp. Training camp was a bad training camp this year. That needs to change, certainly. The players' buy-in needs to change. Now he's got to find out if that's – through coaching, is that through just the way they do things? Is it adjustments from Andrew Brunett? There's a lot of things that need to be broken down, and then he, you know, there could be a lot of changes. Don't forget, like, there's a lot of draft picks that he has that he can use, and he could strengthen his draft capital tonight with a good draw, and change more things. You know, there's restricted free agent offer sheets.
Right.
That I think have to be, it has to be part of his, with the spots that he has in the drafts that he has, he's got to use those, I think, or at least offer them.
Yeah, he didn't say anything today specifically about restricted free agents, but he did mention that hockey trades, and I would put restricted free agency in that category agree, because you're giving up draft capital, but he mentioned specifically we have a lot of draft capital. We don't necessarily need to use it all on drafting the players. We have a lot of prospects coming through the system. And he also said specifically that unrestricted free agency this year, it doesn't look like it's a deep crop of players that could really be difference makers. So you have to be calculated in how you go to free agency.
And the ones that you're going to want are the ones you're going to have to overpay for. Like that, the days of getting bargain on free agency is that's over. But, you know.
Cap's going up a lot. People have more money to spend.
Yeah, you have more money to spend. You're going to have to overpay. But I think, and every time I listen to Barry Trotz, I think he's got a mindset that he could change at any moment. And I don't think he has a team to – I don't think he has a team that you could fail on. I think they're going to be better just by sheer chance.
Yes.
You know, you could do the same thing, and they're going to be a better team. I think the personnel.
I think that's very reasonable. The question becomes how much better, and is it reasonable to come back and be what everybody expects in this city, and that's due to the success of long-term, and that's being a playoff team.
Yeah.
That's 28 points or so is roughly what you got to do. You got to be 25 to 30 points better than you were last year. So
I think they could get there without doing anything, just because.
Well, he's banking on that.
Because the game is going to change. What he has to do is is determine, does he bring in younger guys because he's looking at it as another year that's an off year, and does he bring these young guys up, or is he going to wait on it?
Oh, ball right, just we dropped. Got some ping pong balls dropping.
I think some ping pong balls are about to drop. So, David, do we have Giggity. That?
Am I going to giggle every time you say that?
Well, there are 14 ping pong balls.
Yes.
A lot of people think so there are thousands of ping pong balls. There's only 14.
So they're loading them in.
Number
right
seven
now.
Just
14
got.
14 balls numbered 1 through 14.
Yeah.
5. We'll draw 4 balls in each drawing.
6. 7.
The order is irrelevant, so if they come out 3, 2, 4, 1, the winning combination, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1,001 possible combinations.
9.
Is this a paid position, the ball dropper?
I guess. Yes.
It's a very important position.
It is.
If we get 11, 12, 13, 14.
Now,
11.
That will be.
If you're listening and you're seeing, you will see that we're going to get it before we actually hear it. You're good.
Now the ball's on the clock.
Teams 12 on down, Detroit on down. They move up a maximum of
is this
10
it? Is it?
Spots.
Yeah.
Second overall pick in Detroit.
Well, you're going to see it before
San Jose
we hear it.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind.
First pick, those two spots would be locked.
So don't, you're saying don't react.
Yeah, don't tip the pick.
Okay.
Release the balls.
Are we on the air talking?
Yeah, we're on.
Okay.
And please start the
I didn't know if you'd muted our mic. Or we're just hearing John Butchie.
Thomas, please start the clock.
That was Gary Bettman.
So Thomas Meaney starts the 30-second clock. His back is toward us, so he's not looking at the balls and the numbers floating around. And he'll just let us know when it hits zero. And the first ball will come up the chute. And we'll begin that process. Again, the percentage to win the draw, it begins with San Jose. They currently have the highest percentage. And we can update the percentage chances of your favorite team as each ball comes up. And again, you can follow along on NHL.com.
Draw.
Here comes ball number one.
And the first ball is number 7.
So lucky number 7. How does that affect the percentage to win the draw? Here we go. So San Jose, you actually move up. Your percentage has increased. Chicago goes down. That was a good ball for Philadelphia fans. And so on down the line, the Kraken. Good ball for them, not good for Boston.
Thomas, please start the clock.
So 30 more seconds till ball number 2. Comes up again.
The Predators after that first ball went to 11.9%.
Okay.
Who will win the draft
so
lottery?
Basically 0.4% is
Calgary
what they improved to.
Eliminated after that first draw. So the Flames fans.
You could explain this to me 1,000 times and I still go,
number 6.
Sure.
So Calgary eliminated after ball number 1 as we prepare for ball number 2 to come up.
Nash has rubbed the rabbit's
ball
foot.
Two.
Willie has rubbed the rabbit's foot.
Ball number 2 is 11.
11.
Nashville has just gone down to 9.1% after that second ball.
To the percentage. Wow, look at this. Everyone below the red line is out. So those teams cannot move up to 10 spots. Again, San Jose's looking good. Flyer fans up to 10-6. Seattle creeps up again to 10-6.
Thomas, please start the clock.
So ball number 3, and after this ball comes up, we'll be able to tell
remember,
you.
Remember, it's a 4-ball combination that you're looking for. This is the third of the 4.
First, and what ball number that you need to win the lottery. As the GMs look on here, wondering if they're going to be the team to get one of those top 3 players Sam Costantino just talked to. Kind of a draft almost based a little bit on need at the top. It's so close.
Draw.
Ball number 3.
We're out.
Ball number 3 is 12.
So 12, 7, 11, and now 12. What does that do? Okay, Nashville, you are out. Bruins fans out. Ducks
so Nashville
Rangers
has no chance now
Chicago
at the first
Blackhawks,
pick.
The
we know
Islanders,
they will not
the
have the first pick.
And the Flyers.
They will draw for the second pick after this is over.
Wow.
We're going to find out who
so
the first pick is, and then there will be a second draw, and we'll find out where Nashville slots after that.
NHL.
So I'm going to be honest. Hal and I think, are on the same boat trying to follow this and how this works.
Well, I've studied it to a degree, but remember, I got a C- in probability
yeah.
statistics at yeah. Vanderbilt in the one class that I took.
So this is going to be one of those things.
So they have not completed the they've not completed this right now.
No,
not so we're
yet.
Not going to find out. I thought we were going to find out.
Well, now here we go.
Here we go.
It's still we're in commercial. Still bouncing.
They're trying to some sponsorship placement here by ESPN. So we have 3 minutes until we find out.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
So we'll give you quickly what's going to happen here.
Okay.
They're going to draw the fourth ping pong ball. That will determine who gets the first pick. Then there will be a second grouping, and you will determine who gets the second pick. And after that,
the third. And
well, no, after that, that's it. Then okay. Then you can't drop more than two. So Nashville, if they don't do well in the second drawing, will drop to fourth or fifth. But that would be the most
they can't
that they
do
could
worse
drop.
Than fifth.
Right, and some of it will be affected by who wins the first pick. Right now, there's still a very good chance that either Chicago or San Jose gets the first pick. And if that's the case, then that will affect what Nashville's chances are. It's staying at three, moving up to two, or going to four or five. But remember, they can't go below five.
Well, here's hoping it's two,
but they're out
three.
They're out of the one hole.
Or four. Yes. Yeah, so if you're just joining us, they are they're the first pick. The Preds are out on that. So ESPN's in commercial. We'll still see. We still don't know who has the first pick. So I tell you what, David, I know we got to step away for a second. Let's do that real quick, and then we'll come back and update everybody.
Still you're watching the balls.
We're still watching them. You're listening to a Smashville Live Draft Lottery Special. We're live today at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Hal Gill, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Hal Gill with you.
Oh, my goodness.
And the New York Islanders have won the draft lottery and the number one overall pick in this year's NHL draft.
Conspiracy!
That's why it's a lottery. So where they were 10th? They were 10th.
They were 10th.
And moved up to first.
That's the most you can possibly move up.
And that is why you don't tank.
That's truly the winner of the lottery.
Yeah. That is why you don't tank there.
Can
right
I just
there,
can I just say I'm going to say what every Preds fan in the world is thinking. I hate this stupid system.
A couple years ago with the Predators were one of those teams where they didn't used to do this live. But if they were doing it live 2 years ago, John Hines is last year.
Yeah.
Apparently, after three ping pong balls, they were still in the running for the first pick. They just didn't win it on the fourth one, and obviously it was Chicago that won it. So this is what you get. But you made the point, Hal. The reason they do this is to keep teams from tanking.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line, is if you just throw out a bad lineup and
intentionally
and just lose and roll over – you know, you'd think, okay, perfect. We'll get the best player coming out, and they don't want that. And I agree with that. It's disappointing when you have an off season and you're looking at going. You could fall quick.
Yes. So let's let people know what's happening now. They're into the second draw, so this means with the Islanders winning. It has increased the chances that the Predators not only won't have the first pick, but they'll move down to four or five. The Predators do have a chance for the second pick, and they're drawing the four ping pong balls now. Right now on ESPN, they're interviewing Ken Morrell, the former great defenseman he was on, of course, the Miracle on Ice team, correct? 1980, and then the Islanders for their four Stanley Cups. So we're paying attention. We want to see if the Predators hang in the mix for the second pick here.
1-5 have been drawn.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
None of us know any of what this means, but it's a combination of four numbers. The Predators have an 11%+ chance of the second pick, but now with the Islanders bumping everybody down, there's a good chance that the Predators will be picking fourth or fifth. Remember, they can't drop below fifth.
Do something, Trotsky. Get in there. Get on the forecheck. Change us around.
Trade all right, 12.
It's got to be heart-wrenching for these, you know, owners, GMs. You know, a GM is just looking at it going, give me a break. You know, just give me that. This could be the one player that I could turn things around with. and they're just sitting watching a ping pong ball.
So
it,
yeah. So if the last
decide
number,
their fate.
If the last number is three, would that be good for the Predators?
Since I have no idea.
Okay.
No.
We have no idea. It,
I don't know what
I don't
the
think there's
mean.
No there's no correlation. It's just a combination of the numbers that.
So this is for the second. So they okay so they're in the, still in the mix for the second pick. 18% chance of getting the second pick according to the three balls that have happened so far. So the fourth ping pong ball is going to determine. Boston still in the mix, Chicago, San Jose, Utah and Calgary still in the mix for the second pick.
Okay.
Okay, so the Predators need a 4 or a 13 to get the second pick. They've just revealed that.
And these are the balls each team needs. You see, San Jose's in good shape, either 2, 6, 8, or 11, and they only fall from 1 to 2. Nashville's got 2 with 4 and 13, and Boston has 2, 7 and 14. One chance for Chicago with 10.
Balls.
Or suddenly they see themselves slipping down the board as well. So one more ball, Mr. Commissioner.
Thomas, please start the clock.
So we need Ryan Ellis.
We're getting a lot of good vibes here at Brewhouse.
Nick Spaulding.
Nick Spaulding.
Spaulding. Spaulding.
Yep.
We need the Yak one more time.
Now we will determine who has the second overall pick.
So we're looking for 4 or 13, and we get...
Upper deck. NHL
what is
draft,
it?
Held June 27th.
And oh!
In Los Angeles. And here it comes.
What so what, who
will
wins
it? Be for the second overall pick.
Number 3.
Wow! So to get the official tabulation from Scott Clark of Ernst & Young, but you talk about two Hail Marys that were answered tonight. You talk about the Islanders from center ice. It looks like this team went from about 200 feet, Bill Daly.
The winner of the second draw of the 2025 draft lottery and now the fourth overall selection in the 2025 NHL Upper Deck
so
Entry
Utah.
Draft belongs to the Utah Hockey Club.
Wow. The story is in Utah.
So Utah moves up to 4. They maximized how high they could jump up. You can only move up 10 spots.
Right.
So they went from 14 to 4. So that bumps San Jose to 2. And I think, if I've got this right,
Preds will get 5.
Preds will get 5. Chicago will get 3. Because you.
Well, they have Utah listed as 4.
Right. They don't have anything else listed right
because
now.
Because Utah get the 4 spot, that means that San Jose gets a second spot.
Right.
So
right.
3 is still on the table.
No, so I think we'll.
Between Chicago. No?
So do they do a third draw?
I didn't think so. I thought you only draw for the first two.
And now we got a commercial, so we don't know.
Yeah. I think.
We need a good ballologist.
I think the Blackhawks. We do.
There, I mean, I'm getting texts from people. Our text line is melting down. It's the end of the world. Just, you know.
So I think.
I mean, still going to get a
top 5
pick.
But I think they dropped to 5, right?
The question is, because you know this is going to come up, is, all right, if they're 5, let's just say they're 5, can Barry Trotz use some of the draft capital that he has to maybe get somebody to dance and work?
And is it worth it to do that?
And is it worth it? Right.
And I would say probably not.
Or do you parlay all the picks that he does, that they do have, to make something else happen?
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind
they
have
a good spot.
They have 3 first-round picks. We don't know where the other two. We know that Tampa's pick will be in the top 24 because Tampa's been eliminated. Vegas is still playing, so that will guarantee that pick is a little lower. We don't know where they'll slot. But I think you have to pick the top 5 pick. But the
sure.
other two guys, the other two first-round picks, I think you could package with some other things.
That's right.
To get somebody who's an immediate help. If that, I mean,
yeah,
that's one angle.
And those take. And those are what do you use for, you know, an offer sheet is, you know, you're going to have to give up good picks to get
right.
a young, good player, and that might be a good fit.
Yep, and those are future draft picks that you would be given.
And you're also not taking the game. It's less of a gamble, right? You know what this player is all about, and you can say, okay, maybe we miss on three draft picks, but we give those up, and we get a good player.
Okay, I'm being told by
smart people.
Smart people, smarter than me. That there will be a draw for the third spot.
Okay,
so Nashville is still in the running to hold at three.
Okay. All right. So we will.
And which we have in other the end people is that where I know
we should be, which
this
makes sense. So, you know, hey, let's all believe in, hey, everything's going to work out the way it should be. And we're
right.
The third spot. We should get the third pick.
Look, I'd take that all day long. I would be fine with it because based on, you know, the experts, and I don't pretend to be an expert on these prospects, but based on that, you're looking at maybe a Michael Misa, a James Hagans, Jake O'Brien, Porter Martone. You know, you're looking at a center or a right winger there.
Right.
Based on.
You're missing out on the D. Schaefer it looks like he's the guy.
Yeah.
Now,
in this draft.
Now, Let's see how this plays out.
Do the Islanders think he's the guy?
That's the real question, is because these guys are, there's no clear Connor Bedard or Connor McDavid. Can we switch? Are they switchable?
Right.
And maybe a team does want it, and they say, hey, we're going to make a trade and let you take him because we have no need for him right now.
The last time the Predators picked in the top five, they picked fourth. And when they learned they had the fourth pick, almost everybody thought. Did they do it?
They just did it. So Chicago gets three, Nashville at five. So I guess if they did the draw, they did it during the break.
And that's as bad as it gets.
So they didn't even give us a chance to get positive vibes or anything.
So there you go. Nashville will pick fifth in this year's draft. Not even a Seth Jones at four.
Well, but remember that draft, leading up to the draft, most people thought Seth Jones would be the first pick.
Right.
And everybody also had
The Preds were blown away.
Seth Jones was still sitting there at four. So
they already had a great defenseman and, you know, number 75. And then, you know, this kid pops up.
He's
like,
good.
We have to let this 75 go, and we don't want to do that, but we got to because of Seth Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that changed the life of Hal Gill.
Hey, but you know what? You came back and you joined us.
Right, so everything worked out. Everything worked out the way it was supposed to work out. So I think that's the vibe
we
have to take
out of
it. Like
a bad rash, I just keep coming back.
So that was the worst-case scenario for the Predators, was to slip to fifth, at least for number purposes. Now you have to hope that you can get a really good player at five. So the lottery is finished. Islanders 1, Sharks 2, Blackhawks 3, the Utah Hockey Club 4.
Mammoth. Is that what they are?
Well,
Mammoth.
Not officially, but unofficially. That's the leak. That's the rumor. That's the Mammoth.
The Thieves. That's what we're going to call them. Utah Thieves, because they stole the pick.
Yep. And the Predators officially have the fifth pick.
Yes. So
which will be the third highest pick they've ever had.
Yeah, second with Legwand in the expansion year, and then fourth with Seth Jones. So we will step away for a second, come back, react to this, and also hope to hear from Barry Trotz at some point before we get out of here. It's Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Hal Gill live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, a special edition of Smashville Live. Draft Lottery Preds pick fifth. We react next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's a special edition of Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, and Hal Gill here with you. And yes, to quote former Titans general manager Rand Carthon, the ball just didn't bounce our way. And the Predators will pick fifth. He's never going to live that down.
Nope.
The Predators will pick fifth in the NHL lottery this June. And you can weigh in, 615-737-1025, our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Cody says, yep, we're screwed. Joel said Islanders in Utah were long shots and beat us out. Wow. They need to scrap the ping pong ball system.
Yeah, when it doesn't work your way, let's get rid of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of doom and gloom right now. But here's the deal. I mean, you can still get a good player at the fifth overall pick. I mean, right now, I have the 2025 NFL draft prospects rankings according to NHL.com. I mean, you got
Chase. Who is the best Predator of all time? Who would you say?
There's a statue of him.
Pecorino.
Pecorino. Where did he go? He must have been.
He was
third. No,
yeah, he was in a round that doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, look, you can get good
guys.
Play.
Settle
Shea
down.
Shea Weber was the second round.
Settle down.
What round were you drafted?
I was in the eighth round.
It
we
doesn't
don't
exist
have
anymore.
That anymore.
We but you were pretty damn good.
When your best player for your organization doesn't have a round anymore, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, well, I mean, they're good players.
Josie?
Of course,
I would
everyone wants the best player you can get. But you don't know what these kids are going to end up like, and so we are what we are. It is what it is.
Well, let's go back to 2013, which is the last time the Predators had a top five pick. And let's go through the five. Nathan MacKinnon, and this was a loaded draft.
Yes.
This is considered one of the most bountiful drafts
that was built
of
different.
All time.
Yeah.
And this draft does not appear to be like that, at least
Barkov,
by the scouts.
Right.
So number one was Nathan MacKinnon, which was a surprise to a lot, because a lot of people thought with Seth Jones's ties to Denver, he grew up, he watched the Avalanche play, his dad was coaching there for the basketball, that they would take Jones. They didn't. They took Nathan MacKinnon, which has proven to be a great franchise player.
Yeah.
The second pick Florida had, they surprised everybody too. Most of the mocks did not have them going this way, but they took Alexander Barkov.
Yeah.
Another great pick. The third pick belonged to Tampa. Do you remember who they took? Tampa had the third pick. Nashville had the fourth pick.
I don't remember.
Do you remember, Chase?
No.
He's still playing in the league.
No.
Third overall pick in one of the most bountiful drafts of all time.
So 03?
Yep. No, 2013.
I know this, too, and I'm blanking.
Because
it doesn't really matter, guys. It doesn't.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about now.
He now plays with Nathan MacKinnon.
He wore skates. He's carried a stick.
And he never made a dent for Tampa.
No. It is on the tip of my tongue. I know who you're talking about.
I will just tell you.
Just tell me.
Jonathan Drouin.
Drouin, yep.
Oh, God, that's right.
So he was the
third pick. He's bounced around quite a bit.
Seth Jones, the Predators took with the fourth pick. The fifth pick was Val Nichushkin also. So it's interesting. The Avalanche have three of the top five picks of the 2013 draft. Nichushkin has been a really troubled guy who didn't hit early, then went back to Russia, and then came back. And when he's on, he's really, really good.
He's something special.
But to your point, Hal, the third and the fifth picks were kind of, okay, NHL players, good players, not great players. But then later in that draft, there were some other outstanding players that were taken. And so the difference between picks 3, 4, and 5 is probably a little bit random. There appear to be most consensus that Schaefer and Michael Misa are the top two.
Yeah, they seem to be the top two. Yeah.
So I don't think either one of those guys will be there. Then after that, I think there's a lot of randomness of who would be amongst the 3, 4, 5. If you watch the World Juniors, this kid James Hagans, I know you follow college hockey. He was also a dynamic player for the World Junior gold medal team for Team USA. Hagans plays on the same college team as Teddy Stiga, right?
Yeah.
For Boston College. So that would be a name to keep in mind that could be there at 5.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of ways this goes, but remember, these are 18-year-olds.
Right. So there's a lot of directions a pathway can go from age 18 to 21, 22.
And I don't think any one of these guys are generational talents.
It does not appear that way.
But, I mean, you know, your hope, it's hope. That's what it is.
You hope to get a really good player, though.
Yeah, but I just don't think it's the end of the world. So,
Preds fans. To get fit? Yeah, that's
Preds
what
fans,
I'm saying.
It's okay.
Well, here's my favorite. Like, there's a Matt on our text line that's just, you know, melting down, just crashing out right now. People that are like, oh, this franchise, like, what are they doing? They had no control. The only control they had was the third worst record in the league this year. They had no control on the way the ping pong ball was going to bounce.
I blame Craig Baugh.
You can't do that. Don't blame partner.
Partner did it.
Partner's just partner. What is, you know, probably going to crush a pizza somewhere.
Not good, bro. Not good.
If you're into this stuff and you want to start getting familiar with the names, The Athletic, I think, does a really good job of kind of setting the table, and it will probably change between now and the actual night that they draft.
And if you really want to get into it, go talk to the scouts. I just had the funeral for Ray Shiro and his celebration of life, and there's so many people there, so many scouts and GMs and big heavy hitters in hockey. And I was asking around, just talking about it, and, you know, everyone had something good to say about something else, someone else. Like, you know, and so it's all these players, as much as we want them, every team is going to have a different look. It's similar, like Seth Jones. We just talked about it. We thought he'd go first, and then, boom, he pops up at fourth. And you don't know how it's going to play out.
The 2003 draft, which was held in Nashville way back when, is another draft that's considered one of the greatest of all time. It was in Nashville. The Predators had, I think, the seventh pick that year.
That was Suter.
That was Ryan Suter.
Who's still playing?
Marc-Andre Fleury was the first pick. He's just finished up his career. So.
No. He's going World Championships now.
Oh, he's still playing.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's still playing.
Not so fast.
He's finished his NHL career.
He's going back with Sid to play in the World Championship.
But, and then you go down the list. We mentioned Shea Weber, Hall of Famer, was dropped to the second round of that draft. But then you can look in the top five. Nathan Horton, guys who picked right before Suter. Nathan Horton, kind of a up-and-down career. Had a lot of concussions, was good.
Yeah.
Nikolaj Zhirdev, who barely ever made a dent, was Columbus's pick. I think he was fourth overall.
Yeah.
So in a draft where almost you couldn't go wrong, some teams still went wrong in the top five.
Well, and
so
everyone failed for Nail.
That was a few years after that. Nail Yakupov, first overall pick for the Oilers, failed miserably.
Nail failed.
This is not a surefire. This is not a surefire draft.
No, it isn't.
And even the surefire drafts aren't so surefire.
Have surprises.
I have been asked on Twitter by my friend Phil, Chase, can you crush a pizza from the Sauce Pizza Kitchen at Brewhouse South in honor of the Predators' crushed hopes and dreams in the draft lottery?
He'll do that for you.
Hey, we'll get on that. I'll get Hal to help me. So if you're just joining us, the Predators will pick fifth in the draft. That's where the ping pong ball bounced. We will continue to break that down in our last segment. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, and Hal Gill with you here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. It is a special
edition of Smashville Live.
I'm trying. Here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It is a special draft lottery edition of Smashville Live. Our thanks to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs for having us here tonight. Chase McCabe alongside Willie Donick and Hal Gill. That's your cue, fellas. As we wrap things up, the Predators will pick fifth overall. We'll have a lot of time to break down these prospects, but this is step one in the offseason plan that Barry Trotz talked about today that they now have officially got in. We know Andrew Brunette will be back as the head coach, but we also know there will be some changes, whatever that is. If that's players, if that's system, if that's assistant coaches, that will come in time. But now at least they know where they're going to pick. That can help steer the ship.
Yeah, and I think there's so many decisions to be made and so many ways that Trotsky can go and with everything. And so I think this is a huge summer for the Preds, for the whole organization. You know, they're building. Bridgestone is getting a revamp, and they're building that up. And, you know, it's the same thing with the team.
Hal, let me ask you something that you would be able to answer that I've been asked a lot on our radio show on DVD this afternoon. I was on George Plaster's show today. And it's hard to help the casual fan understand this, but there was a lot of talk on how you want to play with this group of players versus how Andrew Brunette would ideally like to play, because that was at the center of what was talked about today as to when they did the autopsy of what went wrong.
Right.
It didn't seem like the way that Andrew Burnett had it humming last year with a different group of players did not jive, especially with the new players this year. So let's start so the tweaks to the system, they're going to spend a ton of – they probably already have discussed it a lot, but how do you – what's the best – what's the answer in your mind?
Well, it's interesting because Barry Trotz coached with a very different system.
Yes.
Barry Trotz, we saw it for years with the Preds hardcore lock it down. You know, early years, not a lot of talent there. So it was just defend – hard in front of the net, push everything to the outside, keep it to the outside, get the puck in, work the forecheck, do the best you can to try to create mayhem on the forecheck. Burnett comes in. Burnett, the first thing he said is, we want to play with the puck. If we don't have the puck, we're going to attack and get the puck. And so when you do that, you're not packing it in. You're putting pressure on the puck, whether it's a forward and a D and another forward and a D. You're attacking all over the ice. And you're not playing necessarily a defensive posture. You're attacking the puck and trying to get it back. And when you do get it, you're pushing the pace and you're moving it up quickly. The adjustments that I found that they made as the season went on were, at times, pack it in. Let's defend the middle of the ice. Let's keep it to the outside. And I thought they played a handful of games where they were successful doing that, but they didn't generate offense out of it.
Why
were the times where they didn't get stops quickly, they didn't give up much. They kept everything to the outside, but they didn't get the puck and they weren't able to attack. The other adjustment is allowing D to D in the neutral zone where they let's come back, we'll go D to D, we'll build up some speed and we'll attack together. But that wasn't Bruno's original system of move it up and anticipate it and win a battle up the boards, win another battle up the boards, and now everyone's going with speed. It was a different take. And there's different tweaks as the season went along. But every time there was one tweak, something else in the game suffered. You know, we're better defensively, but now we can't score goals. We're scoring goals now because we're being more aggressive, but we're giving up way too many odd man rushes. Odd man rushes became a big impact on the game against. And so, you know, you have to figure out what are all those tweaks and how can you put it to get a full 5-on-5 game where you're good on both ends of the ice.
Why was it so hard to play the same system that was so successful last year? I'm sure that's at the
Because it takes a while
for new guys to
learn that.
But they made that transition last year so well. If I'm Andrew Burnett and I'm arguing, the way we play will work if everybody is on the same page. Why was it so hard for this group to grasp that?
I think because you have to have a commitment from five guys to do it. If you pull the puck back and go D to D and bring it back, everyone can do that. Everyone can see that the play is developing.
Every type of player?
Every type of player can do that, I believe. You know, Steven Stamkos is going to do that better because he can pick up speed and attack, and he's more of an impact player when he's got speed. And so he's going to be better at it, but everyone knows where to go and what to do. Now you're just looking at who is the best players to do it. Whereas Bruno's system, when you go, everyone needs to be going at the same time, and you need to win those battles, and you need to put it in spots where you can win another battle. And that becomes a little more challenging to get everyone to think the game as fast as Bruno wants.
So with all that said, knowing that these guys like Marchessault and Stamkos and Shea, everybody's got another year under their belt going into this season. How can they adjust to learn the system better? But also, how can Bruno adjust to his players? Because I think the best coaches will take their system, but they'll also adjust to the players that
they have. That's where the conversation has to come before the season starts, before preseason starts. You need to talk to guys, and Bruno's got to do his work in the summer to say, hey, if we play this way, can you commit to it?
Yeah.
If we do this, and hey, Barry Trotz had to do that when he was a coach. He had to go after Ovechkin in the summer and say, can you play this way? They ended up winning a cup because he got a buy-in.
Right.
So I think that's what Bruno has to do is, okay, I'll adapt my system. Does this work for you? And when the player says, Yes, coach, I think I like that. If Marchessault, okay, is this something you can work with? Then they get the buy-in. Now it's on them.
So is it fair to say the buy-in is more important than the actual X's
absolutely.
And O's of the system?
Yeah. I absolutely, 100%.
You have to be willing to do it.
You have to be willing to commit to it. And then, okay, we're doing it this way. And the players know, right? You didn't do it this way. It didn't work because it's on you. You said you were going to agree to it. Now, if you're not going to agree to it and you really don't get the buy-in, then you got to move on. Like that's when you have to let a guy go. Is like if you're not going to buy in, and that's why trades happen, is because not because he's a bad player, just didn't want to buy into what we were doing. And I think once everyone gets that buy-in, and that's the tricky spot, is you got different players that need to come together, and that's how winning is done, is everyone doing the same thing and committing to it.
Okay, and Chase, you were listening to the whole press conference where they went back and forth on this, but do you feel like that the same coach can go back to the same group of players and make that compromise and get the buy-in?
Every player I've talked to likes Bruno. They like Bruno. They like playing for Bruno. They like his mentality and the way he treats the players. He's a player's coach. He's been there. He's seen it. He's done it. They appreciate that. And he gave them all the leeway in the world. He let them go through the struggles. And I think they respect him for that. Now, the question is, okay, you respect, can we be successful together? That's the bottom line. You can appreciate someone and work. Hey, I like what you do, and you like what I do. But if you don't win, who cares?
Real quick, I asked Barry Trotz today about, you know, do you feel that that you need to help a little bit more in some of these adjustments because of all your years as a coach? I'm not saying for him to coach from above, because he said nobody likes being coached from above. But do you think that maybe Barry has tried to stay out of that a little too much, and that especially with playing defense, like we know that the Predators need to play, that he could lend Bruno an extra hand of, hey, here's what I'm seeing, do what you will with this?
Hockey players, and I will tell you I'm the first one to say it, hockey players are built on feedback. If you play a game and you self-evaluate, you give yourself feedback, and then you're like the next day you get there, there's a coach in your ear giving you feedback. Whether you like it or not, there's feedback. And I think Bruno, why wouldn't he want a great coach like Barry Trotz to talk to him and say, I like this. What if you tried something like this? Now, Barry Trotz can't go, you need to do this or you're gone.
Right.
Because now Bruno doesn't even have buy-in in what he's doing because he doesn't think it's right. And that's where Trotz and Bruno have to have that conversation where they say, okay, this is the way I want to coach. You have to let me do that. But it doesn't mean he can't give input. I think that would be stupid. If I'm a coach, I want to hear what Barry Trotz has to say.
And is it fair to say, you mentioned Barry Trotz's background is a defensive, great defense. Andrew Burnett, much more innovation. The best way to defend is to have the puck.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to defend.
Exactly.
But defending when you have to defend is really important. And this team, clearly, that was a problem. Barry Trotz mentioned that today. So this team has to defend better to be better.
A defense, if you're pushing a team on their heels because your offense is so good, then you're driving. Your defense is playing less because you're so great offensively. That wasn't the case. I think early in the season, they had an offensive drive. They just weren't scoring goals. And now you got to work it out where you find that happy medium where you're playing in the middle, where you're defending well, and you're creating some scoring chances.
We got a long off season to talk about this stuff, unfortunately. But we'll see how it goes. Hal, appreciate you. Willie, appreciate you.
I apologize, guys. That might have been on me. I messed that up. I should have gotten those balls out sooner.
Blame Skillsy for the fifth pick.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Hal.
But it's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you, Chase, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
We're going to be okay.
Max is listening on a plane. It's going to be okay.
We're going to be okay.
We're going to be fine.
Hang in there, guys.
For Hal Gill, for Willie Donick, I'm Chase McCabe. Predators will pick fifth in the NHL draft. We'll have full reaction tomorrow starting at 6 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road. All through the day. Thanks so much to Brewhouse South for having us here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.